Whose image and inscription is this? Render therefore to God the things that are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, they didn't expect that, the Pharisees. They came to catch Christ in his speech, but they were carrying Caesar's coin in their pocket, the pagan emperor of Rome. That was hardly kosher. If you carry government currency, why, give it back to the government. What's the big deal? But God's coinage, Christ's image, you, the faithful, carry it. You're doubly stamped, each one of you, front and back. And that is what we do in the Mass of the faithful. We give it back to God. The Catholic Church is full of unexpected things, like Naaman, the Old Testament, from the books of Kings, a Syrian general. He was a leper. He sent for the prophet of God, Elias, from Mount Carmel, to come and heal him. But like Naaman, sometimes we object as well. Naaman expected, he said, well, I expected the prophet to come, and then he would say some prayers, and then he would heal me. And then he got stubborn about it, and he almost missed his miracle. For example, we're all the time hearing about how you must assist at Mass every Sunday and Holy Day. You must hear the whole Mass. Most of all, it's three principal parts. The other Sunday, some people were leaving Mass at the offertory, not arriving, but leaving. They must have had something more important to do. Well, they didn't fulfill their Sunday obligation, of course, but you know, in the first 3 centuries, before the offertory began, the deacon would get up and sing something like Sancta Sanctis, holy things for the holy. And then he'd say in a loud voice, let the catechumens depart. If anyone's a catechumen, let him depart. Catechumens, go outside. Then a great rustling would be heard in the crowd at church. They didn't have pews back then, but if they did, I imagine somebody would have crashed the pew to the kneeler, because that's quite traditional. Unbelievers were there. They might have been drawn by curiosity or a genuine desire to hear the word of God. Never mind. Out. Catechumens, still studying their catechism, not yet baptized. No. Public penitents, making up for adultery, maybe, or idolatry, serving their time, they all left the church. Only the faithful, those who could go to Holy Communion, remained. This was called the Missa Catechumenorum, the dismissal of the catacombs. And I find it enormously interesting that our ever so important word in English, Mass, comes from that Latin word, dismissal. But imagine if that rule obtained still today, and everyone who was unworthy were to be told, get out of church. Would the pews be empty? Well, you would have plenty of time in that case to make it to the Colosseum, I mean the stadium, in time for kickoff. But there was a catechumen at Mass this morning, and we wouldn't dream of telling him to depart any more than we would our visitors who are always eagerly welcomed, or public sinners, for that matter. I suppose we're all in that boat now. And today's Mission Sunday, we want to bring them in, not send them out before their time. But we Catholics, we remember that once we did. Why? Out of a profound reverence for the sanctity of the Holy Sacrifice. This is called the Disciplina Arcani, the discipline of the secret. Unless you were baptized and in the state of grace, you couldn't get in on it. There's a remnant of that, you know, in public rites of the church. Funerals and weddings and blessings and processions. Have you ever noticed a priest, if you were paying attention, that he starts the Our Father, Pater Noster, he'll say, and then he says nothing until the very ending, et nenos inducas in tentationem. That was because pagans were not allowed to hear the words of the Lord's Prayer. It was considered too holy. And that's why still today, at a funeral, pay attention the next time, Father is standing there at the rail, and he's going to bless the casket, the remains, with holy water and incense, and he sings, Pater Noster. And nobody finishes the Our Father because of the discipline of the secret. So we call the first part of the Mass of the Catechumens. That was for everybody. We don't call it, that's Novus Ordo, Liturgy of the Word and Liturgy of the Eucharist. They got that right from the Lutherans. And we remember, je me souviens, the French say, that's their motto in Quebec, I remember. We remember, going all the way back. The Mass of the Faithful starts with an odd, inconclusive Dominus Vobiscum and Oremus. Only the priest doesn't pray then. He reads a verse or two of the psalm, the offertory verse, which at a high Mass is sung by the choir. And then he busies himself preparing the chalice. Well, centuries ago, we remember, we did pray here for certain pressing needs of the church. They would call that today the prayer of the faithful. Well, we didn't pray the modern way, which is, I think, all sorts of people lining up at the microphone and reading one trendy or political petition after another, or making them up entirely on their way. You know, they would say something like today, I imagine, that the church may be welcoming to all of those who are transitioning today. Well, no, nothing at all like that. The true prayers of the faithful, they say, well, you can find them in your textbook of Catholicism, which is your missal. Do you have one? Don't let it gather dust. The solemn prayers of Good Friday's Mass of the Pre-Sanctified, they're called, and the celebrant announces some petition, and then the deacon sings out, Flectamus genua, down on your knees, everybody. And everybody kneels down and prays in silence for a while. And then the subdeacon says, Levate, well, you can get up now. That's exactly the opposite of the way they would pray in the new religion. Now, these prayers developed eventually into what the English would call the bidding prayers. And the French had what was called the office of prone, and sometimes prayers and devotions along these lines were led before Mass began. The last remnants of this prayer are still observed, however, before the sermon, when the priest gives out the names of the sick or the dead, and we kneel down to say a prayer for them. That's a living tradition all the way back to the first centuries. But now we have this sort of unattached Dominus Vobiscum and Oremus. Do you remember we talked about this? It serves to say on the part of the celebrant, are you still with me? Are you paying attention? Remember, now is the time really to pray because the first principal part of the Mass is about to begin, and just to help the server rings a bell. What are they, the three principal parts of the Mass? The offertory, the consecration, and the communion. Can you show me from sacred scripture where they are found? Indeed. You take your Bible, you should have a family Bible as well, and or you can find these in the Missal too, under the Passions. You find the what's called the Synoptic, or the story Gospels of St. Matthew and Mark and Luke, and you look up the Last Supper and you will find these words: for the offertory, Jesus took the bread and the wine. That's the oblation of the Mass. The sacrificial elements, bread and wine, are dedicated, offered to God in this sense, set aside to be consecrated. And then, secondly, the consecration, he gave thanks and blessed, saying, take ye and eat, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. This is the sacrifice itself. And then thirdly, the communion, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. The communion completes the sacrifice. The three principal parts of the Mass, you must assist at them if you are to fulfill your Sunday obligation. Many Catholics don't know that. One old-timer left church when I started teaching this a few years ago. Perhaps that person had never heard of this before and thought to himself, well, I figured Bishop Dolan was fiddling around with the faith. I've never heard of this. Well, to be on the safe side, I'll stay home from now on and never go to the sacraments again. The trouble is that many people grew up with the idea of sort of wandering in and out of Mass, you know, bathroom breaks and water, and check on the donuts and health to hall, make sure they're doing all right. And then you miss something really important at the altar, a principal part. And you will not have heard Mass unless you assist at those three. Of course, if you're ill, that's different, or parents who are minding the babies in the vestibule, that wouldn't count. But an amazing amount of otherwise devout Catholics, and why would you come on Sunday unless you're a devout Catholic, do actually miss fulfilling their Sunday obligation if they've indulged in a nice long bathroom visit, especially at the wrong time. The offertory, the server rings the bell. The priest turns around and he's praying for you. It's a wish, Dominus vobiscum, may our Lord be with you. And he's telling you, you have to pray. The ushers at this point get up and go for the baskets. And the priest, he's preparing the chalice. At some masses, a bishop's mass or a solemn mass, the chalice is carried to the altar now with some ceremony. But always it is prepared by a set ritual by the priest. St. Vincent Ferrer says, this represents the finding of Christ in the temple, the fifth joyful mystery, and how our Lord went to Nazareth after all with his parents and was subject to them, just as the bread and wine now being offered are made subject to the words of the priest, because the consecration makes them to disappear, and they're only accidents now which adhere to the reality of the body and the blood of our Lord. Meanwhile, the ushers are busy. They're taking up the collection. The ushers, I often think of them. You know, they are the unsung heroes of every Holy Mass on Sunday. They don't mind poking baskets under the noses of those who pretend they don't see them, and they do that week after week, faithfully. But our cash and checks, which should go into the basket, they represent us, represent, for some, it's like giving a pound of flesh, and oh, it hurts. We don't put coins in the basket anymore. Maybe children would, but nobody else. The Federal Reserve has too far debased our currency for that. But still, Listen to the words of St. Augustine today. We are the coins of God, stamped with his image. And God demands the return of his coins, as Caesar did the return of his. Thus, every 8 days at Mass, at all of the Mass, we render to God the things that are God's. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.